It's Thursday, June 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, stunning news from China. The country's once powerful security chief receives a life sentence for corruption.
The significance of this, at least from the party's perspective, is that no one is the untouchable.
Cambodian migrant workers may face terrible consequences if they flee the country. And country music stars Tim McGraw and Brantley Gilbert want to say a big thank you to American veterans. It's all ahead. We begin with major news out of China. The country's once powerful security chief, Zhou Yongkang, has received a life sentence for corruption. The state-run Xinhua News Agency says the Tianjin Municipal No. 1 Intermediate People's Court also deprived Zhou of his political rights for life and confiscated his personal assets. I'm joined by VOA Beijing correspondent Bill Ide. Chinese state media are reporting that former security chief Zhou Yongkang has been sentenced to life in prison for corruption. What is the significance of this announcement?
Well, Zhou Yongkang is the highest ranking official to go down to date in Xi Jinping's massive and expanding anti-corruption drive. And the significance of this, at least from the party's perspective, is that no one is untouchable. I'm actually, as we're speaking right now, I'm seeing the first images today that I've seen of Zhou Yongkang. We haven't seen him since October 2013. He has gray hair. They show the judge in the trial reading what appears to be the sentencing. And he was sentenced, as you mentioned earlier, to life in prison. And the crimes include corruption, abuse of power, and disclosing state secrets.
Was it known that this trial was taking place?
Well, we knew that a trial was supposed to take place, and everyone was expecting that at least some portions of the trial, not the portions pertaining to state secrets, would be open to the public, that we would have some kind of access. We would get some kind of a sense of what the drama was like in the courtroom, much like we did during Bo Xilai's trial, but that did not happen. This was out of the blue, very sudden, and it comes at a time when, especially over the past few weeks, people have been speculating that Zhou Yongkang was not going to accept the deal, or he wasn't any kind of a sentencing, or that he had recanted his original confessions, that there was something going on that was making the trial fail to move forward. But now we see that, in fact, it did take place on May 22nd, and that we have all these rulings, and that he has confessed to his crimes, according to state media, and that he is not going to file an appeal.
And I believe that Bo Xilai had been a close ally of Zhou's.
That's right. I mean, there are those who see this not only as an effort to crack down on corruption in China, which is massive and expansive, but also an effort to get at a very corrupt political network that was a threat to, or perceived as a threat to, Xi Jinping's efforts and his rise to power.
Is it known how much wealth Zhou accumulated when he headed China's National Petroleum Corporation?
Well, we didn't get specifics about portions of his career, you know, how much he accumulated when he was in the oil sector or in other parts of government. But we are getting some numbers today from the ruling, and I think as we learn more about this, we'll get a better sense. But what we're seeing is that the numbers that he personally accepted were a lot smaller, still a lot. I mean, in his case, it was $100,000 in bribes that he was accused of receiving. But then through his family members, the documents from the court that have been revealed through state media say 20 million in assets. And then through a criminal network with his family members and Jiang Jianming, former oil official and state, was head of the State Assets Commission in China before he was taken down, that amounted to it was several hundred million dollars that they basically benefited from their business activities. So we're starting to get a better sense of what the figures are like, and they're huge. They're quite a lot more than what we saw in the case of Bo Xilai.
It's interesting that I believe Chinese President Xi Jinping talked about going after tigers and flies. Well, this must be a very large tiger.
Definitely is. I mean, this is the biggest tiger yet to date. There are still other tigers out there, and there are those who hope that, that Xi Jinping keeps going, that it's not just what some would say a political venture to get at people who are only a threat to his power, but to also really rid the system of a problem that is pervasive.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Bill.
You're welcome.
That's VOA Beijing correspondent Bill Ide. Well, joining me in the studio is web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky with a look at what's trending today. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, there are two stories that are trending, unfortunate, little sad stories. The first, Ron Moody, an actor out of the UK, died at the age of 91, best known for his role as Fagin and Oliver in the 1968 version of that movie, known for playing Sherlock Holmes, Captain Hook multiple times, and the role of Merlin in the Disney movie Kid in King Arthur's Court, so that's been a trending topic on social media, people remembering his movies. At the same time, we have news that actor Christopher Lee has also passed away at 93. Christopher Lee, known for playing Dracula, the villain in the Bond movie, The Man with the Golden Gun. So we've getting comments of people remembering them for their movie roles. We're getting some interesting comments as well, people saying there's going to be a heck of a show in heaven tonight with those two actors up there.
Well, Lee was quite elderly, wasn't he?
He was. He was 93 years old. Wow. But interestingly, he has one film that has yet to be released. It's coming out in the future. It's a fantasy film called Angels in Notting Hill. And he was actually slated to start filming with Uma Thurman, a 9/11 drama, this fall. So he was still working up until the end. And in fact, one of the quotes that's being shared across social media is a quote from Lee. He says, "To be a legend, you either have to be dead or excessively old." So people saying, of course, he is a true legend now after his passing. Now, these are two of the stories that are trending on Facebook, and Facebook is doing something interesting as of this today. On the right side of Facebook, there's a list of topics that are trending, and people are saying sometimes the topics are silly. We were talking about National Best Friend Day the other day.
Yeah.
People were questioning how accurate that was, that that was actually trending. It might have been Facebook trying to push that up. Facebook has now launched topics. So you have entertainment, politics, science, and technology, sports. So you can look at different kind of buckets of trending topics. So you can see the International Best Friend Day or National Best Friend Days, but you can also see what's going on perhaps in China as you're talking about or other issues. The ultimate goal, it's interesting, is to keep people on Facebook longer. Facebook is trying to become a place where people get news. More and more people are getting their news from social media and from Facebook with 1.4 billion users around the world. So their goal is to try to get more people to stay on there, and almost like Google News, when you go onto Google News, you have entertainment, politics, sports, those kind of different topic areas. You can have that on Facebook.
Right, and it's breaking news as well, because I know I've looked at Facebook.
And that's one way they're trying to compete with Twitter. Twitter, the stories about Christopher Lee and Ron Moody were breaking on Twitter, but they're also showing up on Facebook.
Oh, so you can't get away from anything on social media.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks very much, Andrew. That's web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky, and this is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
This is the sound of a coronal mass ejection, a CME, exploding from the sun. CMEs are bubbles of superheated gas and highly charged particles that blast from the sun. Occasionally, when Earth is in the line of fire of a CME, technologies we take for granted, such as GPS, satellite, and radio communication, can be interrupted. They can also take down power grids. Current detection technology can provide only a 30 to 60 minute warning of an impending solar storm. But scientists in the UK have come up with a new tool that could provide more than 24 hours notice before CME particles hit the Earth. Getting a warning a day earlier could help technicians protect sensitive electronics against a solar storm. Fortunately, those of us living on Earth are pretty much protected from most of these harmful solar particles by our atmosphere and magnetic field. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, country music stars rally to the cause of American veterans. The VOA East Asia editor Colin Lovett is finishing up his visit to Cambodia. Speaking from Phnom Penh, he tells me about the plight of some migrant workers and visits a notorious former Khmer Rouge prison. Well, Colin, I understand that you've been doing some reporting about some of the exploitation of Cambodian migrant workers who leave their country to seek better opportunities abroad, but then that doesn't happen.
Yeah, my colleague and I, Porn Bapa, who works for the VOA Khmer Service, we interviewed a man named Kim Singley. Singley is a Cambodian man who left Cambodia in 2009 to try to find work overseas. He thought he was signing up to work on a fishing boat in Thailand. Next thing he knows, he's being held on an island in the remotest part of Indonesia with no wages and no hope of escape. And he spent 6 years fishing on boats in the remote part of Indonesia before the camp where he and hundreds of other men were being held was discovered and dismantled. And he just returned to Cambodia. And his return and the return of some of the other men is really kind of a chance for both NGOs and Cambodian authorities to use it as a warning to other Cambodians that this happens to a lot of men and women who go overseas looking for work illegally. They get caught up in these human networking scams that lure them in and then exploit them.
And what can be done to try to stop this situation?
Education is certainly one. The people that we talked to talked about, you know, having an education campaign amongst Cambodians, especially rural Cambodians, which are the people most likely in this country to suffer from extreme poverty and be most likely to go overseas in search of a better job. Also changing the mechanism by which many of these people go overseas, especially in particular Thailand, which is bordering here, and Malaysia, which is a very short ride away. They want to improve the mechanisms, the legal mechanisms, for these people to go. There is a lot of work in those countries for impoverished people from Cambodia and Myanmar, which are the largest groups to go. But unfortunately, the way the system is set up now in Thailand and Malaysia, as well as the exit visas out of Cambodia and Myanmar, is it's really hard for a lot of these men and women to find legal avenues to fill jobs that, you know, quite frankly, people in Thailand and Malaysia want to fill. These are lower paying jobs in richer countries. And so education, improving the mechanisms for legal travel, and then cracking down on, you know, taking the criminal justice route and trying to crack down on the people who traffic in these people and exploit them.
And now, Colin, when I spoke to you yesterday, you said you were intending to go to visit the infamous Tolsling prison, former prison. Were you able to do that?
We went by it for about almost 10 minutes. It was a very busy day, and Tolsling ended up becoming very low on the agenda. It's still very stark. It's the way it used to be. There is a stupa, which is a Buddhist kind of memorial that has been built in on the ground to its line. That's new. There's some more signage. It's a little bit better marked as far as a place for tourists and others to come and look at, kind of in the way that Auschwitz and some of the death camps in Germany have become tourist spots for people who want to see what the horrors are all about. But at its core, it's still this very stark building. It used to be a school before they turned it into a torture center. And it's a very stark place, and it's a stark reminder the horrific, unspeakable evil that this country suffered just a generation ago.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Colin.
Thank you, Sarah.
VOA's Colin Lovett reporting from Phnom Penh, Cambodia. This is VOA.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
I'm Millar Sega, host of VOA's The Correspondence, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support, Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that afflicts almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day. Wherever the news may be, our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondence, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
Sometimes military veterans believe they don't always get the respect and regard they deserve. VOA's David Byrd and Nikki Strong join us now to tell us about two country music stars who want to change that.
Many times, if you see an American veteran in the airport or at the bus station or even on the street, people will come up and thank them for their service. Well, a couple of country music stars have come up with a very unique way to thank veterans. One of them's Brantley Gilbert. The other one's Tim McGraw. VOA Country Hits USA host Nikki Strong joins me in the studio. Nikki, what are these country stars doing for veterans? What is it? What's going on here?
Oh, I think it's awesome. First of all, Tim McGraw, he has teamed up with Chase and Operation Homefront, an organization that assists veterans, to give away newly renovated mortgage-free homes to military families, which I think is awesome. He's been giving them away for about 3 years now. So he's given away about 108 homes. He's on tour right now, and he shares that with his audience. And it's been a wonderful, I think it's a wonderful gesture. And he has shared even with the press. He says, you know, the return to civilian life can be a challenging transition. And he says, you know, we want to welcome veterans back home to the community they sacrificed to protect. And a mortgage-free home provides stability for their families and allows them to start this new chapter in their lives without one less worry or without one less worry.
Mm.
So it's and he enjoys, he says, it's an amazing feeling to give them something that they deserve and to be able to share it with his fans across the country.
Speaking of giving people things, I understand Brantley Gilbert got a very special gift from a veteran recently at a concert.
Oh, man.
Why don't you tell the audience what exactly happened there?
This is very touching, and the video went viral. And so you had Wounded Warriors and Harley-Davidson came together for a motorcycle ride called Project Odyssey, which was to raise awareness for post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And they had a VIP guest, which was Brantley Gilbert. And one veteran, he was an Army vet, Staff Sergeant Justin Patterson, was so touched by Brantley Gilbert's contribution and his willingness to participate, to raise awareness for PTSD and to give back to the veterans, that he gave Brantley Gilbert his personal Purple Heart.
And for the audience that doesn't know, the Purple Heart is a medal that a soldier receives for being wounded in action.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the conversation of him actually giving it to Brantley Gilbert is recorded, and it went viral. And so it hit the news circuits. And so Sergeant Justin Patterson was actually on TV. And in response, Brantley Gilbert then reached back out to him and gave him a couple of tickets to the CMT Music Awards.
Nice, nice. Well, we'd love to know what you think about these efforts to help veterans. Please let us know. You can post your comments on our Facebook page. That's VOA Music. It's facebook.com/VOA-music. Nikki, you also have a Twitter account people can tweet to you?
Yes, they can. They can reach me on VOA's Twitter account.
That's at VOA Music.
Mm-hmm, at VOA _music. And they can also hit me up at I Am Nikki Strong.
All right, that's VOA's Nikki Strong. Nikki, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Yeah, we went out, 21 guns blazing, that's one.
It's a hell of a nightmare.
And that's our show for today. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks very much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Stopping the recruitment of foreign terrorist fighters is a key concern for the global coalition to counter ISIL. General John Allen, the U.S. Special Presidential Envoy for the Global Coalition to Counter ISIL, stressed this point in his speech to the Brookings Doha U.S. Islamic World Forum. He noted that comprehensive approaches to reduce the foreign terrorist fighter flow must start at the point of radicalization. Last year's United Nations Security Council Resolution 2178 calls on all nations to strengthen their borders, share information, and adjust their laws to criminalize traveling for terrorism. More than 30 partners have now made legal and justice reforms intended to make it more difficult to travel to the battlefront. Increasingly, as a result of the Internet, it is no longer necessary for foreign terrorist fighters to leave their home countries to be radicalized and recruited. This phenomenon has opened the door to radicalized individuals to conduct terrorist attacks in their home countries. Lone offender attackers, as they have become known, are a growing concern. That is why all nations need to work together at every link along the chain, at every border between a potential foreign terrorist fighter and the battle space, in their home communities, and at the point of recruitment and radicalization. The coalition's Foreign Terrorist Fighter Working Group is organizing coalition action around 9 fronts, ranging from border control to information sharing to mapping travel to improving legal capabilities and post-counteroffensive foreign terrorist fighter flows. ISIL is practiced in exploiting a sense of rootlessness and separation that many young people feel in their communities, whether in minority communities in the West, in certain Arab societies, or in Southeast Asia. A feeling of disenfranchisement and otherness is present and powerful for many, said General Allen. There is also separation between the opportunities young people see on their smartphones and those they believe are available to them in their own lives. We must guard against the manipulation of these separations and anxieties, said General Allen, while at the same time working to address their root causes. Stopping the flow of foreign terrorist fighters is critical to winning the fight against ISIL. Through strength and unity of purpose, ISIL can and will be defeated.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's weekly newsmaker interview program. Listeners around the globe get insights from authors, analysts, and policymakers on a wide range of topics, from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on Saturdays and Sundays, or subscribe to the PCUSA podcast. Just go to our homepage at voanews.com and click on podcasts. Also, we love to hear from you. Send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA and follow us on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.